You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
A very good Friday evening to all Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned into Financially Included, brought to you by our good friends at FNB Namibia. Today we have another interesting, engaging topic for you. We're going to discuss the role that financial literacy plays in our ongoing topic of financial inclusion. The all-important topic of financial inclusion that we've been talking about for the past, I think it's been 5 now, maybe even 6 episodes here on Financially Included. And today we will be joined by the lovely Anyel von Finkenstein, who is the head of fiduciary at FNB Namibia. She'll be giving us, a crash course on financial literacy, the importance of financial literacy, and as I said, the role that financial literacy plays in the conversation of financial inclusion. Now, don't forget, this is leading up to the Alliance for Financial Inclusion Global Policy Forum that Namibia is hosting next week at Swakopmund, or in Swakopmund rather, from the 2nd of September to the 5th of September, and we will be there live on the ground to bring you the latest news and give you some fresh, exclusive content on the Global Policy Forum. As we said before, there's leaders from all over the world coming in, financial leaders from all over the world coming in, central bank figures from all over the world coming into the land of the brave to talk all things financial inclusion and to ensure and collaborate so that there is the environment for financial inclusion, not only in Namibia, not only on the continent, but in the world. And this is being co-hosted by the Alliance for Financial Inclusion, as well as the Bank of Namibia. And so great things are going to come from this forum. Great ideas, great initiatives, great discussions are going to come from here. And without taking up too much time on the other side of this, we're going to get in touch with our guest, Anyel von Finkenstein, to talk about financial literacy. So we'll be back right on the other side of this.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by none other than Anyel von Finkenstein, head of FNB Fiduciary and Financial Literacy Expert. Anyel, thank you very much for making time for us this evening. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's get right into it. Please introduce yourself and describe your role to us at FNB.
Awesome. Thank you. So I wear two hats at FNB. The one is for FNB Fiduciary, where we deal with last wills and testaments and estates. And the other one is where I get to be involved in the financial literacy initiatives that we do through FNB.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, on this show, we're talking mainly about financial inclusion. So I'd like to hear from you. When you hear the term financial inclusion, what does that mean to you?
So financial inclusion for me really means that everybody has access to our economy and the financial services sector, and that we have products and services available to everybody that help us achieve that and help us contribute to the economy as well.
Right, man, exactly. And for the listeners, can you please explain what the term financial literacy means and what it consists of?
So financial literacy really is around how you understand your money, being empowered around making decisions around your financial well-being, and achieving the goals in your life, especially with a financial aspect to it, right? If we also look at financial literacy, it's one of the cornerstones and building stones to financial inclusion and to economic empowerment.
Right. And so following up on that, how would you characterize the relationship between financial literacy and financial inclusion?
So in my mind, you can't have one without the other, because mm-hmm. you can't, you know, contribute to the economy and participate in our economy in the financial services sector if you aren't empowered with knowledge around how it works, mm-hmm. where you actually, you know, how it works together, and how do you make use of all these products and services that are available out there.
Right.
And that's really how the two come together, is knowing more so that you can be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, can nationwide financial inclusion be achieved without a certain level of financial literacy among the general population?
Yeah, so this was a tough question. In my mind, not really. You cannot achieve full financial inclusion without having financial literacy, mm-hmm. Even at its most basic level, because otherwise whatever services or initiatives are there to create financial inclusion and accessibility, you can't, our population then can't make use of it if there isn't an understanding of what it is.
Precisely. And, you know, as a financial literacy expert, from what you've seen on a general level, would you say that, that Namibians are financially literate?
So we have some stats. In 2017, our National Statistics Agency, mm-hmm. did some research and some survey around this, mm-hmm. and they found that it's only around 53% of Namibians that actually are financially literate, mm-hmm. right? So that's less, or it's just around half.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping we've made strides since then, but I don't think we have.
Yeah.
Based on the consumer education sessions I've seen, mm-hmm. it's been interesting, because even for myself, when I went on the financial literacy facilitator training, I learned so much through that training that applies to my own life. And I mean, I was 30 at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it really is around that. So it's something for everybody.
Do you, by chance know how someone would be deemed as financially literate? Like, what is there, like a baseline or so?
Man, I think some of it is around knowing that and being empowered in the decisions you make when it comes to your money.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, in terms of tick box, I guess you can think, okay, I know how to track my income and expenses. I know how to set a savings goal. I know mm-hmm. how to put money aside. I know how to draw up a budget and stick to it. Because I mean, we can all draw up the budget. Sticking to it is really hard.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of like some of the baselines around that, but it gets a little bit wider also in terms of, do you understand when you're entering into a loan what the terms and conditions are, mm-hmm. right? And do you understand when you open a bank account why there's fees, or how do you work with your fees? Because mm-hmm. lots of banks actually offer cheap ways to bank,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't understand how to use it, or you're not aware of it, then you can't actually make use of that best.
100%, yeah. So, on past editions of this program that you're on today, we've spoken a lot about, how digitalization is a key component to financial inclusion. So I'd like you to give us some insight into how, throughout the financial literacy education journey, how much of that involves learning about, you know, the various digital tools that are out there.
So in principle, I think digital tools are going to be really important in future in terms of growing financial inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do still have to, you know, grasp with the reality that in Namibia, not everybody has access to digital channels, right? Mm-hmm. Like cell phone banking, e-wallets, all of that is still a very, very popular way to bank. And I'm not talking financial services.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, does everybody have access to a smartphone to really make use of the digitization and the digitalization?
Right.
Is one of the questions, but in principle, yes, because you have easier access to resources.
Mm-hmm.
So like just an example on FNB's website, if you go into Bank Better, whether you're even an FNB client or not, it doesn't matter. You don't have to log in.
Mm-hmm.
We have some tools on there about budgeting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have access to the internet, you can get that kind of information. There's podcasts, etc. And then obviously, you know, there's tons of apps out there on budgeting apps, tracking your spending apps, you know, it really is one of those things that I think is going to and can have a massive impact.
Mm-hmm.
But we just need to be aware that not everybody has access to that yet. And
right.
until we get there, we need to cater for both.
Exactly. So there needs to be a balance, so to say.
Yes.
So, now when it comes to financial inclusion, you know, there's a common, notion that, you know, it's only people that work in finance or maybe business owners that need to be financially literate. But I'm sure that you would agree that everyone needs to have, some form of basic financial literacy just as a general life skill. So, can you talk to the listeners about why someone would need to be, or why the average Namibian, excuse me, would need to be financially literate?
So we deal with money every day, right? From paying your taxi cabs, from, you know, school fees, figuring out your groceries. So you have a payday today, and then you need to pay your loans if you've taken any out, and then there's not enough left. There's so much month left at the end of your money, you know, all of those kinds of things. And because money touches every single part of our being in this country, I mean, yeah, you can't, we don't have barter system anymore, right? Yeah. So no, we need to make sure that we actually understand what's going on. And it's a tool, especially financial literacy. If you think about it, it can be a tool that can help you advance in life and achieve the goals that you set out for yourself, whatever those might be. Yeah.
100%. I couldn't have said it better myself. And, so for the people out there that are looking, you know, to increase their level of financial literacy, what are some, resources or services that they can, you know, easily access to help them do that?
Yeah. So I've mentioned the FNB website. So there's a couple of tools out there. We also have some really cool, Namibian, influencers or podcasts, you know, kind of going on there. I think it's Money Matters with B or Budget with B on Instagram, who gives really cool tips and had like a whole series on, you know, budgeting for going to a wedding, you know, cause there's some expenses there that you never really expect.
So there's
quite a bit out there that's online. But obviously being mindful that not everybody has access to this. We do in-person consumer education sessions as well. So if you have an organization, you can reach out to me and we can see if we can set something up. And then obviously the financial literacy initiative that's, you know, it's through the government, but it's its own sort of initiative. They also do the in-person consumer education sessions. They put quite a lot of material and content out there. So if you go to their offices, you might be able to get like, you know, a booklet that sort of helps you with this as well. And Namfisa, I believe, is also starting with consumer education sessions, specifically looking obviously at insurance, et cetera, which is their space, in order to educate people how to protect themselves as well, because there's so much like scamming, fraudsters, predatory schemes out there.
100%.
And the best way to protect yourself is to empower yourself with knowledge.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent. And, you said people can reach out to you at, what, number or email can people find you if they would like to, you know, contact you?
Yeah. So if you want to, I think the easiest would be if you reach out to FNB, so to our contact center.
Okay.
So I think it's info@fnbnamibia.com.na, and they would then forward that to myself, and the team so that we can see what we can set up.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
And, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but, when it comes now to the barriers of, you know, achieving financial literacy, in your view, how can we overcome some of those barriers?
So some of the barriers is very much, so there's two elements to it, right? There's like the logistical challenges around, we want to make this content available in as many languages as possible, and finding translators and finding trainers who can train in the languages. That's actually proven quite, that's proven quite more difficult than we expected, but it's something we're still working on. Obviously also physical consumer education sessions come with, you need to make sure that there's sufficient sort of a budget and time allowance for people to actually go into our communities and spend time, you know? And then you have the more, the other challenges around talking about money, talking about debt, talking about, you know, your financial situation can be a little bit taboo. So it also really is around finding safe spaces where people are either willing to share or at least willing to listen, even if we can't use examples from, you know, examples from the crowd. But I think those are some of the challenges we experience. And also sometimes we have very old mindsets around this, right?
Exactly.
So I feel like you have the extremes. The one is like, never take out debts, never buy anything that you cannot pay cash. Sure. But then we would never be able to afford housing or cars because I mean, who has that kind of cash available so easily, especially when we start our journeys. And then you have the other opposite that's like, oh no, loans are awesome. You just take them out. You never need to repay them. Not quite true. So how do we balance that? And I think those are some of the obstacles around that, is really mindsets as well.
And like, you know, as navigating those different services that are available to you as you get older. I mean, speaking for myself, you know, when I was younger, I wasn't really a fan of, taking loans, but the older I got, you know, the more I learned about these various services, I learned how to take loans, like what is a responsible way to take loans and stuff like that.
No, 100%. And it's so true because loans, you know, people are like good debt, bad debt, all these things. Yeah. And actually it's less about good debt or bad debt. It's about how are you making the debt work for you?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So yeah. And that, you know, you can actually afford to repay it even if the interest rates go up.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I think caught many of us off guard, especially after COVID, when the interest rates were nice and low and then they popped and then it was just like, oh, actually I overextended myself.
Exactly.
Now what do I do?
Exactly. And lastly, I'm sure you're aware of the Global Policy Forum coming up. As a financial literacy expert, what are some things you're looking to see or hear that will come from this this forum?
Man, I'm so excited. There's something magical when you have a global forum sort of where you can bring learnings together that aren't obviously regional and national for us is really important, but finding learnings from across the world, from experts that have seen this work differently, whose economies might be in slightly different places. So might be more developed or less developed, depending on how that is. I think that sort of innovation, collaboration and discussion is really, really exciting. I also think in terms of our regulators and them really making the time to listen and take that in as well is really, yeah, that's something I'm really looking forward to as well, is the actual engagement around it.
Yeah.
And then having concrete plans afterwards.
exactly.
For how are we going to achieve this fast?
Aniel, is there, before I let you go this evening, is there any last words you'd like to leave with the listeners?
No, just thank you so much for having me. Please reach out, especially in terms of FinLit initiatives. We're happy to chat and to have sessions. And, yeah, lastly, also, sorry, and I put this into everything I do.
Yeah.
If there's something that seems too good to be true, like invest today, double your money
100%.
Tomorrow, please be careful.
Important message, everyone. Yes, yes.
All right.
You're not going to become a millionaire overnight.
No, sadly no.
Exactly. Thank you very much for your time, Aniel.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Welcome back to Financially Included, where money meets access. Brought to you by FNB Namibia, and that was our guest for this evening, Aniel von Finkenstein, head of fiduciary at FNB Namibia, engaging us there on financial literacy. And I'm glad she ended off with what she ended off, actually, because that follows up on the conversation we had last week. Not last week, we had on Wednesday with Theo about cybersecurity and how that, you know, is related to financial inclusion. Emphasizing that if it's too good to be true, it more than likely is. You're not going to become a millionaire overnight. You're not going to turn 5,000 into 25,000 by clicking this link. No such thing is going to happen for you. So be safe out there if you want to be financially included. And if you'd like to listen to that conversation I just referenced, simply go to the Eagle FM website, type in financially included, and you will have access to all the past episodes, including the one with Theo that I just mentioned, and several others that we had with various members of the industry. And you can come in. Chime in, call in, give us your questions, give us your thoughts on what we're talking about today at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. If you'd like to call in with your thoughts or with your experience on financial literacy, you're more than welcome to join the conversation. And Aniel said that in the study from 2017, that the number was at 53%, 53% of Namibians are deemed to be financially literate, which I found to be quite an interesting number. They're saying basically a little over half of the population is financially literate. I assume that means adults are financially literate, but, about 7-8 years later, it will be interesting to see what that number is like. One would think, intuitively, one would think that number is probably closer to 70% now, maybe closer to 80%. And it would also be interesting to find out the relation between that number and the number of people that make use of, whether it's cell phone banking, internet banking. Because, I mean, that number, if I'm remembering correctly, they said it's about, I believe they said 80% of customers make use of such services. So, you know, if we have that number of Namibians making use of such services and aren't financially literate, that would be a problem. Do call back 083-288-401. The line in the studio is 083-288-401. We are talking all things of financial literacy this evening. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, where are you calling us from today?
Windhoek.
From Windhoek, and what do you have to share with us on the topic of financial literacy?
I don't really have anything to say. It's kind of a question, actually.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a really interesting topic, and I just wanted to know, at what age can you really start considering this financial literacy? I mean, because you have parents. I mean, your parents, because talking from my experience myself, I'm at school right now. I still have parents who guide me through all of this. I don't really know if I need this yet.
Okay.
I need to, yeah, just provide some clearance there.
If you don't mind, how old are you?
I'm 18 right now, actually.
Oh, yeah, 18. Okay.
Yes.
So I can definitely say that, you are at the age where you need to be fine. I assuming you have a bank account?
Yes.
So of course you need to be financially, literate. As our guest Anil said, it's an important life skill, and the earlier you start, the better.
Oh, okay.
100%. So I encourage you to look up any resources in regards to financial literacy. Tell your friends to become financially literate. You know, mm-hmm. You need to know how you're spending your money, what you're spending it on, mm-hmm. and, all those kind of things.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Yes, there we had a youngster calling in, asking us about what age one should become financially illiterate. Very good question there, actually. And I think should become financially literate as soon as possible. You know, thinking back to myself now, going back to my school going days, we started doing accounting in grade eight. I think grade 8, yeah, is when we started accounting. And grade 8, you're at, how old are you in grade 8? Like 13, 14, somewhere there. So in your early teens, let's say. So in your early teens, when you're taking accounting, you're taking economics at school, that's obviously you're learning financial literacy in that manner. So I would say the answer is, as soon as you're taking these classes at school is when you should become financially literate, is when you should learn what an asset is, what a liability is, what a loan is, what does interest mean, you know, all these terms, building you up into adulthood, so when you become an adult, you know what a mortgage loan is, you know what a study loan is, you know what to do at NSFAF when it's time to get a loan for school, things of that nature. Yes, and thank you to that caller. If you'd like to chime in, I'm very pleased with that caller to know that we have the youngsters listening as well, taking in this great information. And I should have asked him actually if he feels financially included as an 18-year-old. I don't even, yeah, that would have been a good conversation to have. But do call back if you want to tell me if you feel that you're financially included or not. The line in the studio is 083-288-401. And another thing Anil had to say was about the mindset when it comes to our finances. How we view certain things, as I referenced earlier, for example, loans. You know, the conversation between good debt and bad debt. What is a high interest payment? What is a reasonable interest payment? What is a good interest rate? But yes. Those are some of the things we need to look at when it comes to, when it comes to financial literacy. It's not only the knowledge of the, you know, of the terms, of the certain theories, of the concepts, but it's how you view these things, you know, because two people can view the same thing very differently. And of course, the reason for that can be because of the access to capital or finances that these two people might have. You know, what is a huge loan to me might not be a huge loan to the next person. And what I consider to be a reasonable interest payment might not be for the next person. But the reason we need to have financial literacy is so that we have a basic understanding of these things and so that we recognize that, you know, that we know that, you know, like 25% or something crazy like that is not a normal rate. Eagle FM, good evening. Eagle FM, hello.
Good day.
Good day.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Do we have a woman on the line calling?
Excuse me?
Is this a woman on the line I'm speaking?
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you very much for calling. How would you like to contribute to the program today?
I want to talk about why it is important to be financially literate as a woman.
Excellent, excellent. Please do share your thoughts on that.
I believe it's necessary mm-hmm. for a woman because it's a powerful tool for achieving independence and security. And also,
yes,
knowing how to budget, save, and invest empowers me or us as women
mm-hmm.
to make our own decisions, build wealth, and ensure a secure future. This is regardless of our second single.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where, ma'am, where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling in from Windhoek.
Ah, from Windhoek. So I actually have a question for you also. Do you feel... Okay, two questions for you actually. One, when you hear the term financial inclusion, what comes to mind when you hear that term?
Excuse me?
When you hear the term financial inclusion.
Financial?
Inclusion.
Financial inclusion.
Yes, what comes to mind when you hear that?
Oh, so when I hear financial inclusion.
Yes.
Are you talking about, I would say it means making sure everyone, especially disadvantaged or underserved groups, has access to affordable and useful financial services,
mm-hmm.
such as savings, credit, insurance, or digital payments.
100%.
I would say it's quite important because it helps reduce poverty,
yeah.
promotes equality, empowers women, and supports economic growth by giving people the tools
mm-hmm.
to participate fully in the financial system.
100%. That's a fantastic answer. And do you feel that you are financially included?
Yes, definitely. I am.
That's great to hear.
I am a working woman, so yes, I am. I do feel like I am financially included.
Excellent, excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
No.
Thank you very much.
That's lovely.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we had a woman contributing to the program. Very, very excited for that contribution. Thank you for calling in. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. And she actually gave a very important, contribution there about, why it's important for women in particular. Of course, it's important for everyone to be, financially included. But for women in particular, as she, in her definition of financial inclusion, gave that, financial inclusion means for people that are previously disadvantaged to be included when it comes to access to capital. And we have another call on the line. Eagle FM. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you. I'm very, very pleased and grateful to God that our mothers are coming in, because you know very well that we play a crucial role in our life.
Yeah.
So when it comes to financial management, management of the house, I include everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually always there in terms of upkeeping the children.
Yeah.
You know, like she says, yes. Mostly, when it comes to financial inclusion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very, very grateful for what the government is doing.
Yes.
Many other institutions, but I think there's still a lack of institutional will. I'm actually trying to view my points based on an article that was written by Job Angula.
Okay.
In the newspaper.
Okay.
Titled, "The Digitally Divide Stealing Namibian Dream."
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that article,
yeah,
you see that the legal framework seems to be in place that gives some of those mobile companies and many institutions to penetrate in the technologically, digital technologically devices and access to finance.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that's why all these days I've been coming here talking about these things.
Yeah.
Now that I got an understanding.
Yes.
And better insight from somebody who is a professional.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular area in terms of financial securities and issues of that digital transformation.
Yeah.
So now when you look at some acts, our legal framework, it's good.
Yeah.
But 100%, you know, you think that yes, they have penetrated the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody should be included in that keg, even to invest in terms of investment.
Yes.
So now you have found out that according to that article, so you see around about 78% of the people that are considered to be financially included.
78, you said?
78.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I can go to my document and give you the proper figure.
Okay.
But, you know, roughly there, it tells you that, yes, these people are financially included.
Uh-huh.
But tell me the truth that, yes, people who are from the, what is it, from the poor, for example,
uh-huh.
in all these rural areas, not talking about urban, but even those urban ones, they are only access to finance, this with this basic banking, you know,
uh-huh.
banking needs. But in, say, for example, the Namibian Security Exchange,
yes.
those are investments. And this is where people can also have some share and create wealth for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just be, you know, because the money that you people are using in the urban area in towns there, whose money is that one? It's for the people who are from the periphery areas. And even when people today were talking about tendering and things like that, you have to be in person for signature, document, handed in, paperwork, all these other things. But when you look at the act,
yeah.
that talks about Electronic Transaction Act of 2019,
mm-hmm.
recognized electronic signature legally. But I remember somebody used to travel from a poor. It's those who are a contender. And those ones who are here around, the vulnerable, like the madam who just called, they are sick. They're
yeah.
vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're underpaid, underprivileged.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who are even under threat when it comes to cyber security.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to look at the specific issues. Is it merely in financial inclusion? Like I said, Namibia is doing very good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they even look at the regulatory framework and those incentives and all these other things. But the other institution, we are now preaching financial access and financial, inclusion and all these other things.
Yeah.
Are they complementing? Is it complementing or supplementing?
Supplementing.
Supplementing.
Yes.
Are they supplementing the effort of the government? Thank you very much, my son. So let's really be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to these things, that's why even all sectors, but here we are talking about the sector of information and all the other things. So let's make sure that the infrastructure, digital infrastructure and all these things, and make it more accessible to our people in the rural areas. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity. Please question me. I don't want you to say it's only women who are included, but when you look at this. Thank you very much for this. You see, this is a topic. Let's continue debating and discussing about this SMC. How can we have the people in the periphery area have access and start buying their property using those facilities?
100%.
Financial facilities.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you for coming through.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
Not a problem. Yes, there we had a caller giving us some great insight, giving us his opinion there when it comes to financial inclusion, actually, and access to funds, as he was making reference to, about people in the rural areas, in the underserved areas, like the young lady who called through mentioned, underserved communities. And this is why we have the show, is to talk about these things. And to talk about possible solutions to these problems. And as this previous caller now who just mentioned was talking about digitalization and how digitalization can help people access certain financial services, access certain financial tools. Something we spoke about also with Theo on the previous episode on Wednesday. Something that Anyel today made reference to as well. You know, this is it's a key tool to help people access these services. And, you know, the past few editions, I've been talking a lot about the Cash Plus service. We talked about it last episode as well. And how this helps people in these underserved areas, underserved communities, access financial services. And with that, you only need a cell phone to access these financial services. And when I say cell phone, I don't mean smartphone. You don't need an iPhone 16. You don't need the latest Samsung. Any cell phone, any device with a cellular network can help you access financial services. And as we said on the episode on Wednesday, you know, when we hear the term, fintech, we always think, or we immediately always think about the highest level of tech, the highest, most expensive level of tech. But there's levels. You know, there's your high end that, you know, we immediately think about your iPads, your expensive iPhones, your expensive Samsungs, your expensive, I don't even know what else is out there, expensive Google Pixels. But there's, you don't need those to access a service like eWallet. You don't need that to access a service like Cash Plus. You don't need that to apply to become a Cash Plus agent, for example. Any mobile device with a cellular network can help you access some of these services and can help bridge that digital divide that the caller just made reference to. The time is now 44 minutes past the hour of 6. I will be with you until 7 p.m. here on Financially Included, brought to you by FNB Namibia. If you'd like to chime in, continue the conversation on financial literacy and its relationship with financial inclusion, simply call into the studio at 083-288-5433. 083-288-4001. That's 083-288-4001 on this warm Friday evening. It is warming up now, close to payday. So I know a lot of people are are exercising their financial inclusion today. So let's talk about it for about 15 more minutes. And on the other side of this, we'll continue our conversation on Financially Included. We will be right back after this brief intermission.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Welcome back. As I said, brief intermission back on Financially Included, and I see someone is knocking on my door. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, Eagle FM. How's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling you from Windhoek.
From the capital.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what would you like to contribute to the topic of today of financial literacy?
Financial literacy.
Yes. Okay, let me ask you first before you come in with what you had to say. What does financial literacy mean to you?
Okay, to me, it basically just means having knowledge and information about finances, about access to finances, about how to use finances. It's basically being money smart.
Yeah.
So,
Would you deem yourself financially literate?
Well, I'm not fully there, but I think I'm on the way to financial literacy.
Yeah, you think so?
I don't think it's a place that you ever reach where you can say, okay, now I have my PhD in financial literacy or whatever, but you can say like, okay, I'm doing the right steps now. I'm saving here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I've cut back on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm on my way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a learning journey.
Yeah.
And you chime in with what you wanted to share today when it comes to financial literacy.
I think financial literacy in Namibia is one of the biggest challenges to financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know the economy is difficult now, but especially amongst young people.
Yeah.
Financial literacy is one of the biggest things that's keeping us back, because when we get money,
mm-hmm.
what do we do with that money? That's ultimately what decides where we put our money. Because now it's like a person can have money,
mm-hmm.
but without financial literacy, without money skills, that same money is going to go out of your account just as quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have that culture of saving, of investing our money.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody wants that quick reward. Everybody wants that new pair of sneakers, that new cologne.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to save. Nobody wants to think, okay, in 5 years, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the culture we're missing out on.
What do you think needs to happen to you know, change that culture, change that mindset amongst people, especially younger people? I see that's a big issue with young people.
Yeah, the young people. But I guess the teaching basically just comes from home, because if you were raised in a household where money skills were never taught, when you go to school,
mm-hmm.
money skills aren't really taught. We just focus on the hard education.
Yeah.
The maths, the science, but we don't focus on money skills.
Yeah.
So if it can be taught from the household, parents are teaching kids about saving. Even if times are hard, parents can say, okay, look, this is how much we have in our piggy bank, in our account.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So basically just including children from a young age
mm-hmm.
into that conversation about money. Because I know parents usually like to separate children. When the parents are talking about money, they just send the children to another room, or it doesn't concern you.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you involve your child from early on, they get to know, okay, now from the beginning of the month, we need to put money away for rent. We need to put money away for electricity, for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the money that's left, how much can we put away for saving?
Yeah.
How much do we put away for school? How much can we put away towards clothes and
mm-hmm.
and eating out? But if you've never heard, then you just think, oh, there's all this money. I'll just go ask mom.
Yeah.
I'll just go ask dad.
Yeah.
And then what ends up happening is you get the 25-year-old child who's still at home, who's still asking, I'll just go ask money from mom. I'll just go ask money from dad.
Exactly.
Like, that's not a good way to think about money.
100%. And, how young were you when you started, when you started thinking about money in this way, would you say? When you started, you know, your financial literacy education, do you remember how young you were when you started?
So I'm fortunate because I grew up in a house where my parents were comfortable speaking about money openly to us.
Uh-huh.
My mom works in one of the financial companies, uh-huh. or for one of the financial companies.
Uh-huh.
So from early on, I think when I was already 9 years old, she opened up an FNB account for me.
Mm.
And since then, she would basically give me an allowance. Mm-hmm. I think at that time it was like 400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd basically tell me, okay, this is your money to do what you want to do for the month.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously don't spend it all at once. You should spread it out because you don't want to, in the first week of March, you do everything you want to do. Then the next 3 weeks, you're just at home.
Yeah.
So it, slowly teaching somebody like that, I think. Because if you're not able to handle the hundreds of dollars, you'll never manage the tens and hundreds of thousands.
Exactly. Is that a great contribution from you today? Is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
No, I think that has been my main point. I think it's just all about financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what can you do for your money and what can your money do for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress this enough. Young people, if you have the opportunity, try save your money, try invest your money.
Yeah.
Whether it's through FNB, Old Mutual, Sanlam, any unit trust, just get into the culture of saving.
Yeah.
If you look at your money can do way more for you than you think it can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about going to clubs and eating out. It's also about saving that money.
100%.
The future you will thank you for it.
Most definitely. Yeah. Thank you for calling and have a good Friday evening.
No, thank you, Eagle FM.
Yes, that was a caller giving us a great, great, great insight there. He touched on several points that, I think I need to elaborate on in the next, how many minutes do I have? 8 minutes left. Firstly, the one about age. You know, we had a caller at the beginning of the show asking, you know, how young should you be to start the financial literacy journey? And this caller basically answered that question by saying as young as possible. I mean, he said he started his journey at the age of 9, which I find quite remarkable. But basically as young as possible is when you should start the journey of financial literacy. And it comes from the parents, as this caller said. You know, parents out there that are listening, do as most as you can when it comes to teaching your young ones about finances. You know, it doesn't mean you have to give them a deep accounting course every evening, but simple things, simple discussions. Make discussions about money normal at your dinner table or wherever it is that your family gathers. Don't make it a taboo thing. Like Anil said, it's still a bit taboo in a lot of our cultures here in Namibia to talk about money, not just with our children, but with our family members in general. It's quite a secretive thing, which is understandable. But, you know, if we're to foster this great environment of, being financially responsible, being financially literate so that we can be financially included in the overall, economy. These are some of the discussions we need to have. And then he also mentioned saving, how important that is. And I think it's fair to say, I don't think anyone would argue with this, is that people that do save are people that are financially literate. Because you wouldn't really know about saving why you need to save or how you can save the various options out there. Like he mentioned unit trusts, savings accounts, investments, all kind of things of that nature. You wouldn't really know about those things if you didn't have some form of financial literacy. And again, to emphasize that financial literacy doesn't mean you you need to have an accounting degree, you need to have a master's in economics or anything like that. You know, the simple things can make you financially literate. And so it's important to look for these resources that are out there. You know, we all have our trusted device in our hands, basically 24/7, you know. Use some of that time to look up, what does financial literacy mean? Use some of that time to look up how you can budget your money. How you can draw up a budget. What is a budget? You know, there's some people that don't know what is a budget. How much of your monthly earnings should go to certain sectors of your life? You know, these are all things that you can look up for free. As Anil said, you can even approach your bank. They'll help you with some of these things. So the resources are out there for us to become financially illiterate. So a very important life skill for a person to be financially literate. And it's why we've mentioned today on the show that it's something that you need to start young, as most life skills. And it's a continuous skill. It's something that you continue to refine and learn about as you progress through life. You know, like the caller said, he started at 9 years old, started with simple budgeting with that, $400 a month that he mentioned. But obviously as he got older, whether it's through work or whether it's however it is that he attains money, he would have been learning about more things that he can, one, purchase with money or do with money, or that he needs money for. Obviously, we're talking about now, for example, university expenses. Obviously, he wouldn't have been thinking about that at the age of 9. And then, as you get older, you know, you're starting to deal with mortgages, you're starting to deal with car payments, car loans, you're starting to deal with, you know, health insurance, you're starting to deal with life insurance, starting to deal with car insurance. No, these are all things that you learn about as you progress through life. But if you're not financially literate, you're going to find yourself paying. Well, one, you're going to find yourself maybe not even having these things because you don't know that they exist. And then two, you're going to find yourself paying crazy amounts that you actually really can't afford every month simply because you didn't take the time or you didn't seek out the resources that will help you become financially literate, as we're emphasizing on today. Now we have about 2 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to chime in before I sign off this evening on Financially Included, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. To call in, give us your thoughts on financial inclusion and financial literacy. Next week, we will be, as I said at the top of the show, we will be coming to you live from Swakopmund, where we're going to bring you some great content. Some great content. We're going to talk to, you know, various industry members that are going to be at this global policy forum. We're going to talk to various global leaders. I'm going to leave it there. We're going to talk to various global leaders when it comes to financial policies, when it comes to financial inclusion. We're going to hear from experts from all around the world, from various industries. We're going to hear from fintech experts. We're going to hear from entrepreneurs. There's going to be entrepreneurs there as well. We're going to hear from SME members who are going to be there that were invited to be at this forum. Namibian ones in particular, which I'm excited for. So stay tuned to Financially Included, where money meets access, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next week, we will be speaking to you live from Swakopmund, from the forum. The president will also be at the forum, in case you guys don't know. So stay tuned to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Stay tuned to our social media pages as well to get great images and videos from the forum. And as usual, I am your host, Hende, hosting Financially Included, where money meets access, brought to you by FNB Namibia. And I will see you on Monday from Soccer Month on Financially Included at 6 p.m. on your favorite and number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM.
This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM. Financially Included is brought to you by FNB Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, with the Kirokabuna, Imatina, Omjo. Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shikamoshiwana, Iamoyawa, Otaimbo, what is the money? Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Omitom Banawa, Omjika. Seifanina Omeguro Niranditoma Yue, Yongeshifayo Kupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Gwe 23 Meha Uka Kombanga Nena. Kara Ompashi Pareki, Wimopo, Yomo Programa Detu. Moambo, Lengera Selma, Odaraheta Tim, Datunda Tu, Heri Hamano Tano, Oniach, Eagle FM. So high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.